Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And in today's business podcast, we are talking about how to build an incredible fitness retreat. And I'm excited to talk about this because we're actually just buzzing right now over here because we just got back from another one of our incredible fitness retreats. So we run our retreats, a handful of times throughout the year across properties in Ontario. And it just got us to thinking and, you know, like there's so many health and fitness professionals that are a part of our Fit Chicks Academy or just that we know that are like either already running health and fitness retreats or that are interested in running fitness retreats or interested in doing some sort of a retreat to help women or to help people, educate them and have fun and do all this stuff. But they're like, I don't know where to begin. Right. And we started our retreats, Laura, I guess about 8 years ago. Was it 8 years, 7 years?
Six. I think our first one was 2012.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do I think it was like 8 years? Yeah. I feel like maybe just because we've done so many of them. And the thing is that we've done them like we were doing them at one point, like every quarter, then we were going to start doing them once a month. And like, we've had all these different strategies around it over the years. But, you know, some of the things that have sort of stayed true to like the format is what we're going to share with you today, which is what we did and the things that we incorporated in order to make sure that these would be an incredible event, that the people that would come would have an amazing, memorable experience, that they would learn, that they would grow. And then from a business standpoint, that it made sense for us and that we weren't kind of, you know, putting ourselves out there with high risk.
I also, the thing I'm excited to talk about too, is not just like the things that we did right, but the things that we've done wrong to give people the real life lessons of like, because the thing is, I think a lot of times, you know, we tend to just give the highlight reel and that's across, you know, not us specifically, but like all of social media and all of business. And it's like, yeah, like I totally crushed this program and I have these sold out retreats. And then it's like, okay, wait a second. Well, that didn't happen overnight. So if we can save somebody some stress and share what, and also some of the things that I think still also need to be worked on. Because having fitness retreats, it's funny, you know, being a nutritionist, but also being a fitness professional, it's like retreats across both those industries seem to be this like bright, shiny thing that everyone thinks is like, I totally want to do retreats. And while yes, they're like super amazing for a lot of different things, which we're going to talk about, they're definitely not something that is massively profitable. So you're going to put a lot of work into it and you have to make sure that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you have to look at your ROI for sure. Like what is the return on your investment in terms of investment of like any cash that you're putting up front or any risk that you have or just your time investment. I think it's your time. And I think it's also the cost associated to running it because even though there's like, you know, the way that we run ours is like we run them without any risk or any upfront cost. There's still cost though to the smallest of like even just the smallest things, like, you know, printing off materials and like having like all of these, you know, we do giveaways and stuff at the retreats and then we have like Facebook ads and stuff. So like we actually have hard costs. So it's like really like what is the return on our investment of all of that? Plus again, as you said, and I said, like the time investment, because when I put these, like I do a lot of the scheduling in terms of the weekend itself, and we have kind of a format down pat, but there's still a lot of work that goes into it on my end in order to organize the entire weekend, because there's, you know, from answering questions to people to helping them get booked in to actually developing all of the activities and developing all the classes and all of that stuff and then working with the hotels to coordinate everything, it ends up taking a lot of focus and a lot of energy. So as it's like you have to measure out, is it worth it?
Well, and I also think too, it's like the travel time depending where you're having it and all the things that go along too. But that's why I think it's almost like this podcast is almost like how to build an incredible fitness retreat, but also realize like, and ask yourself the questions, like, is this something that's for you? You know what I mean? Like, and why do you want to do it? So for us, one of the main reasons why I absolutely love our retreats is that we get to like, 'cause now we don't teach anymore. So we get face-to-face time with like spending a weekend with incredible women. And also because it's not just like, it's not just talking about fitness, and it's not just talking about nutrition, and it's not just talking about wellness. Like, it's all, we talk about all the things that we love. So that's why I love it. Cause it's like, truly is this like holistic weekend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think it's great because it allows us to build those relationships that then we end up getting a lot more customers and a lot more long-term business from those retreats, because we really get to build a relationship because we have the time to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same as like just teaching a class where it's just like, you know, you're teaching for the hour and then you have a 5-minute window at the end where people come and maybe ask you questions. You're actually spending, like, we spend the entire weekend with people. We don't just like teach a class and then leave the room and go sit in our room and eat dinner by ourselves or anything. Like, we eat every meal with them. We hang out with them. We get to know them on a personal level because it's just like, it's a fun time for us too. And it's a different experience for us because we are instructing it and we're leading it. But at the same time, we're trying to also, you know, enjoy our time when we're there and get to know these the same way that they're getting to know each other.
Totes my goats.
So in terms of, we're going to start off with some stuff that, you know, these are things that we do that we started with and that we still do to this day in order to build an incredible fitness retreat. But then for sure, jump in and add in the stuff that, like, you know, we maybe did that didn't work. And that, you know, so we can kind of go back and forth with that. So I think the first thing that we did well, and that I think is one of the best ways in order, if you are thinking about doing this, is to find a great partnership with a property. And this came to us through a connection that you had, Laura, because it was like, it was a friend of yours from the Fairmont Properties that had moved on to a hotel chain here in Ontario. And he's the one that even approached us with the idea. I remember originally it came from him being like, hey, I, you know, I'd love to have you guys come up and do something here. And we developed it as a partnership because what it did was it took away any risk for us. So the partnership basically is that we would say, we're going to operate the weekend. Here's what we would need in order to do it. So, you know, you'll need to provide the room, you'll need to provide the food and beverage, you'll need to provide, you know, space where we can run the activities, like a conference room or something. You'll need to let your staff know that they to expect us, like, outdoors to be running activities, etc. And in exchange, we'll operate the weekend and we invoice them back and then they pay us. So all of the payments go through the hotel, everything gets booked through the hotel, and then we get paid almost like as a contractor. And doing it this way, what it did was it allowed for us to not have to put any money up front, which is amazing. There's no risk involved for us because they're really just, you know, because there's no money up front, it's like, it really is a true partnership. And also it allowed for us to have some cross marketing efforts. So we would be marketing it, but the property would also be marketing it because their best interest as well. Right. So it's really a win-win. One of the best ways to approach that with a hotel or any kind of property is to offer to do it during shoulder seasons. So during the seasons when they're not so busy, you don't want to be asking them if you can do it during like their peak seasons, because generally at that point, they don't need help filling their beds, right? So what is it, Laura, the statement, heads and beds?
Heads and beds.
That's the whole thing that hotels are looking for, is to get heads and beds. And so they don't really need help during their peak seasons, but they might need some help during some off-season time. And that's when you can run your retreats. So then you're helping them. They see it as a win for them because they're getting their property out there. They're getting people to experience their property, their food, etc. And then for you, you're having this great partnership where you don't have the risk factor up front. So it's a really great win. Now, what were our learnings from there? What would you say?
Well, number one is when you do find a partnership, of course, it's you're dealing with a lot of other politics or personalities or things that are going on within their organization that might change what's going on, like what your vision is. So,
yeah,
you know, you are dealing with like an outside company. So I think one of the major learnings is, though, you've got to stay true to what your brand is and what you want your retreat to represent. So that's why, like, even going back to, even if you're thinking about creating an incredible fitness retreat, like, what do you want that retreat to even look like? Like, what is the purpose of this retreat? And make sure that, like, whatever ends up happening is true to that. So, like, for example, for us, our whole thing is like the whole weekend is literally based on the four principles of Living La Vida Fit Chick. So they're going to have fitness, they're going to have nutrition, we're going to talk about wellness, they're going to be learn how to pay it forward and be a part of our, essentially our chick army. So it's making sure they're like having a ton of fun, but we're educating them and giving them tools to be able to do this for the long haul. So like we had a very clear vision of what our, and we know our brand inside and out. So we needed to make sure that was represented. And like even little things that we made sure would happen, but just making sure like, know what you want to represent, what the message is from your retreat. Like if you're doing a yoga retreat, like, do you want it to be like super chill, they're going to come away feeling rejuvenated? Do you want it to be like a high energy, strong empowerment type weekend? Like what's the goal for the weekend? And then making sure with that partnership that you're expressing that to them too. Cause again, you don't know what's going on at their property. So like we've done retreats where it's like, okay, at least with our brand, we do an outdoor challenge, right? So it's super high energy. People are running around getting dirty, sweaty. But like, I remember there was like a middle of like a dirt biking competition going on at the property too. So if you were doing something like a yoga conference, it might not be the best time if you're doing a chill rejuvenation and all you're hearing is like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you're dealing with other people you don't fully know, like what's going on with them. Sometimes, you know, sometimes disagreements happen, but it's just kind of knowing who you, like what your brand is, what you want your retreat to be and communicating that so they can then let you know, oh, okay, maybe we should move you to this room or maybe we should do this or that we'll keep it in line.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good point. And I think too, having one point of contact, one main point of contact, like a lot of times with hotels, you're going to have like different people that are working on different parts, right? Because they all have their own sort of focus, but having one main point of contact so that you're conveying all the messages to them, then they can deliver it to their team will make your life a lot easier rather than you trying to like have conversations with every single person and conveying that message, because it will just end up causing you more work in the end to just keep saying the same thing over and over again versus just having one person that you're working through, you know, a banquet order with and that, and then they're actually taking that to their team and strategizing with their team will make it a lot simpler and a lot cleaner.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people listening, it's like, we've both worked, I worked in the hotel industry for years in marketing. You worked in sales dealing with events. You know what I mean? Like BEOs, all these things, which is a banquet event order for someone who doesn't know. So don't feel overwhelmed if you don't know all of this stuff. And because what ends up happening is typically when you run retreats is that you will just find a space and you will rent out the space and then you have to essentially do everything within the space, right? Mm-hmm. Like you then have to either bring in the food or coordinate the catering with them. You have to, you know, figure out all the AV, all of these things. And that's why even what our whole philosophy was like, how can we make it as easy for us as possible that we could then utilize as much of their stuff, like Amanda said, their marketing efforts, their stuff that they have on site for tools, their grounds, their staff that can make our job easier so we could execute what we do best, which is educating, teaching our chicks, you know what I mean, making it fun. And then we can take advantage of that. So that's why the partnership is great. But don't feel intimidated if you're thinking, well, I've never worked with a big property or I don't know what a BEO is and all this stuff. But if you get that one point of contact and you start, you know what I mean, getting a clear, like I said, being a clear idea of what you want your retreat to look like, which is very easy if you start Googling other people who run retreats and look at how they lay out their days. Mm-hmm. Then you can start to kind of know, like come in with something you're like, this is what I want to do. And then they can help you from there.
Sure. I mean, well, that's actually our second point on how to develop an incredible retreat was like developing a clear plan of attack. So having a schedule, set it up, that's a mix of fun activities, physical movement, educational and fun stuff, like an experiment with things that people might not have tried or be intimidated by to do on their own. Because that's one thing that I love about our retreats as well, is that we do certain activities and we have in the past like done like rock climbing walls and zip lining and stuff where it's actually an activity that people on their own might not have ever tried, but because it's a part of our programming, they might kind of jump into it, even though they might be really nervous or they might have a fear of heights or they might do these things. We give them the opportunity to do it in a really safe environment, which gives them this empowered feeling. So then they leave the weekend feeling super empowered and excited about what they've achieved. And rather than just making it sort of, and it's not, I'm not saying you have to add those things. I'm just saying by doing that and by giving them something to kind of leave feeling empowered with will help them to A, want to come back for more. And then also it will help them feel like, you know, the true value that they received from their weekend or from their week or whatever type of retreat that you're offering. It will give them even more of a higher perception of value, leaving feeling that empowered feeling of like, wow, I accomplished something that I never thought was possible.
Well, and that's why, like, going back to what I was saying earlier about, like, the branding and knowing what you want the purpose of your retreat to be, because it makes, like, that is, like, your starting point, right? Because then you know, then you start to get ideas of how you want to plan it out. So, like, for example, like, for us, when we say, like, all of our marketing is high energy, it's, like, an all-inclusive girls weekend of fun, activity, all this stuff. So they know they're not coming here to relax, right? They know most people, sure, we ask on their first night, they know they're coming for a kickstart. They're coming to get motivated. They're coming to get, you know what I mean? Like, to get back on track or to start their fitness journey. Like, that's always what most people say. We had some too, of course, were like, my friend brought me and I have no idea what I'm getting myself into, but they always love it. But I think that that's the thing too, is like, you know, so when you're trying to think of, like you were saying, the mix of fun activities and stepping outside the box, if you're someone, let's say, who you want to do a fitness retreat for, let's say a postnatal fitness retreat. So for women who've just had babies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, starting with that idea. So what do you want to achieve from that? Well, you want them to enjoy the weekend. You want them to work out with like-minded women who are in the same position, learning about their new bodies. You know what I mean? And then how are you going to do that throughout the week? So then maybe you would have, like you said, mixing up the fun activities. Maybe you would have a fitness class for, like, teaching postnatal. If you're a postnatal instructor, you're gonna do a fitness class altogether. Then maybe you'd have a workshop on pelvic floor health, and rejuvenating your pelvic floor health. And then maybe you'd have, like, a wellness workshop about rediscovering your relationship with your new body. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it just kind of starts the ideas, kind of start from the idea of, like, the concept, and then start to see how you can keep going back to achieving that goal. Mm-hmm. Through a way that's true to your brand.
Definitely. And one of the things that we did that I think in the beginning, you know, when we were developing our schedules, is that we thought that, you know, one of our mistakes was that we thought we had to fill every single moment. So yeah. When we were developing the plan, we thought, okay, from like 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., we have to have either a class or a workshop, and we didn't give them any downtime, and we also didn't give any transition times. So at our schedule, we would literally, like, if a class was running from 3 to 4 p.m., then from 4 till 4:30, there'd be another class, and then 4:30 to 5, and, like, literally, it was like, if they had to move rooms and stuff, there was no time in between to do that. There was no time for them to go to the bathroom. There was nothing built in to the schedule to give them a little bit more flexibility. Because you have to remember too, if it is a weekend, yes, they are coming to learn, to grow, but they're also, especially if they're coming with a group of friends, they are also looking to hang out with their friends, right? Like, this is still a bonding thing for them. Even if they're coming on their own, it's still something, like, maybe they just want to have a bit of downtime and a bit of space to, like, take in all of the new stuff they've learned. So that's one of the things that in the beginning we jammed every moment with, like, crazy amounts of stuff. And also, if you have activities going from inside to outside, how to plan accordingly. Like, if they have to go and get their gear and everything else, like, make sure that you build in, like, a half an hour window before you even actually have to start that outdoor activity, so they have time to, like, go to the bathroom, go back to their rooms, get their gear on, come back, and then you can give instructions, and then they can go outside, kind of thing. Because if you try to just be like, oh, bring all your stuff, and then we're going to go inside, outside, and then they come back from outside, and they're sweaty, and then they don't have time to change, and then, you know, they get all frustrated because maybe they're wearing their outdoor shoes inside, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it ends up just kind of being really muddled. So just my point is, build in buffer windows into your schedule, because they will appreciate it and it will make your life a lot easier. So I always like to build 15 to 30 minute windows in between activities, so that we, if one class is running late, for example, if a nutrition workshop is running behind, then we have a lot of time.
Which it always does.
Every single retreat. I build in a half an hour buffer window for questions, because I know that nutrition workshop with Laura is always, you know, it's a hot topic. A lot of people have a lot of questions about Shin. So I build in a 30 minute window after, when she's supposed to be done, before my boot camp class starts, so that if it does go over, there's still plenty of time, right? And so you want to think about those things, because if you overwhelm people, they're going to just be like, oh my gosh, like, this is too much. Like, you want to give them some space.
No, and I want to, the one thing too, I think, like, we honestly felt like they needed, like, maybe this was a bit narcissistic of us, but we thought that they needed to be entertained 24/7. Like, we're not providing value if we're not, like, teaching them something or doing something with them. Mm-hmm. But like you said, like, they like that downtime too. So, you know, giving, like, a longer break where they can enjoy their friends, mm-hmm. And whatever that they're doing. And I don't know. I also find the one thing, though, giving advice to anyone who's not run a fitness retreat before, is that even though you are going to give, you know, if you do give longer breaks and things like that, you're always going to have people who are stragglers. You're always going to have people who don't abide by the rules and just show up at their own time. But remember, this is your retreat and you run the schedule. So if people aren't showing up, you've got to remember that all the people who did show up on time for the next session, they're paying too. And they're expecting, and I've seen this, I've actually been at events where this has happened, where like I've walked in and just say the session starts at 3:00. And then half the group is not there. And next thing you know, they're not starting till 3:15. Well, that's, you know, a waste of my time when I could be doing other things. So I always think too, like, remember, this is your retreat. You set the tone, you set the pace. And if you give a time, you start at that time. And if they're late and they miss out, they're late and they miss out.
100%.
Then they will show up on time to the next one. If they know no one's waiting, they will show up on time to the next one.
100% agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. Like, whether it's your fitness retreat or whether it's even a fitness class or any kind of seminar or workshop you're teaching, always you want to be people, you have to respect people's times and they have to respect yours. So you want to make sure that you're starting on time for sure. The other thing is that, you know, I always say too, like when you're developing your retreats, make sure, and I know we talked about this a second ago when we were talking about the schedule of like mixing fun activities with physical movement, educational stuff, but like plan for fun stuff too, because that's the one thing that I love about our retreats is like the Saturday nights, we always do a themed dinner party. And we didn't start with that. Before we used to do, remember we used to do that like very formal dinner on Saturdays?
Where yeah, it was we like, did it more like very fancy.
Yeah, it was like a very fancy, like everybody got dressed up and then it was like this plated dinner and it was like super fancy. But I found it was like, it was still fun because people had conversation and everything else. But I find now that we do a themed dinner party where everybody, usually we do like an 80s theme or like around Halloween, we do like a Halloween party or something like that. And I find people just let loose a little bit more. They have, I find like it's more exciting. People don't feel as stressed out. Cause when it was like the dress up, like the formal one, I remember how many questions I used to get. Oh my gosh. Well, should I be wearing jeans? Should I be wearing dresses? Should I be this? Should I be that? What about this? Do I need this? Like, and everyone felt so stressed. Like, can I wear high heels or should I be wearing flats? Like so many questions would come at me because people were so intimidated by the idea of having to dress up in this way. So giving them sort of like a clear theme makes it really fun, makes people get really into it. A lot of people are really into like the idea of dressing up and doing something that's just funny. And so that's a really great way just to add some fun, to add some excitement. Same thing, like we do on our Sundays, we do a celebration brunch, which is like how we wrap up our weekend, where, you know, we celebrate people's wins. We talk about like the successes over the weekend. We get excited, you know, we give out awards and gift bags and things like that. We do that all on the Sunday so that they leave feeling that buzz, that excitement, and like feeling that like that's the lasting memory that they leave with. They walk out with that energy of like excitement and like celebration. And that's what you want.
Oh, completely. And I just find that that's something that definitely, and especially if you're in, and well, actually no, again, you do have to tie it back to whatever your vibe is, but even you can be having fun if you're in like chill vibe. But yeah, I think that you have to remember too, that you're all just people who are there connecting as well, you know, and part of that is enjoying each other's company, not just for like the girls who are there or the men who are there, but for you to be able to connect and enjoy your time with them too. And that for us too is like the parties and stuff. That's when we get a chance to go from being instructor just to being there and making them do dance competitions for us, which is so fun. Even though they're like, what? We're like, we're making you relive our dream of being an American Idol judge. Go.
So you think you can dance, judge, dance for me. Yeah, no, I love it. And like, that's the thing, right? Like we add funny things into it. We had recently at this last retreat, we had a dance competition. We have them do cheers as teams. So they have to come up with like funny cheers and things like that. Like special handshakes. We have them do all their activities. We're thinking about doing, what we're thinking about doing the next one, the lip sync battles and stuff. Like we just try to add something fun. Obviously that's not part of like our daily programming because our daily programming has a structure and is very specific, but when we hit the fun spot, which is the Saturday night, the dinner, the celebration, the fun, we always try to add some sort of a fun activity. We always do trivia too, so that it's, you know, not just physical, but it's also like mental and gets people talking at their tables, right? So look at different ways that you can incorporate something that's like an element of fun, an element of surprise to get people excited and like connecting again, but on a different level that's not just about, you know, everything that they've been learning, but they're talking about something completely different and laughing about it. And then the last thing that I think that you really, this is just like across the board for anything to do with your business, but when it comes to running an incredible fitness retreat, is I just think that you need to over deliver when it comes to, you know, that's like when it comes to your execution of what it is that you're providing. So, you know, with our retreats, like we have some women that are like, oh, like, you know, it's like the price point, it's not super cheap. And no, it's not, because we know the value that we're providing for our weekends, right? Like it includes so much, but we ensure that when you leave, you don't feel like you've received, the perception of value is there. Like, you know that you left and you feel like it was worth every single penny. And that's because we try to over deliver on every single aspect. We show up, we're on time, we're present at every single event and class and workshop that we're teaching, which means not just physically present, but mentally we are there. Like, I am so involved with what it is that I'm doing. I'm so in that present moment. And the only thing that matters to me in that moment are those women and their experience, right? And so you really got to do that, and you got to show up and teach classes and just bring out every ounce of energy, because everything that you bring to the table, like, they're going to feed off of it, right? And you're going to feed off of them. And so it's such a give and take relationship when you're teaching, whether it's instructing a workshop or instructing a fitness class or whatever, it's that give and take of energy. And so you have to give it and bring it and show up, no matter if you have 5 people showing up to your weekend or you have 100 people. It's like, you need to be the leader in bringing that energy. And then the last thing, and I know, Laura, you always say this at the end of our weekend. You said at the beginning and you said at the end, actually. And it's something that resonates with me, and I'm sure resonates with everybody else. But I love that you say this, because you always say, like, you know, these people, like, you always are showing gratitude and saying thank you for coming this weekend. And, you know, we're here to, you know, deliver and give you what it is that you're looking for. And you always say, like, you know, you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with us and we don't take that lightly.
Oh no, I say that. And I know you and I both truly believe that. Like, I always say at the beginning, because I want people to know right from the jump, because it's so interesting.
That we're grateful.
Well, yeah. And I also say to them too, which is funny, because when they first get there, it's such an interesting transition watching people from the moment they arrive to the moment they leave. And that's why I say it both times, because there's a different perception too of even when I say it at the beginning, because they don't know us and they don't know what they're going to change within themselves throughout the weekend. And I mean, we have had women who have gone through incredible transformations just in a weekend. And I'm not talking about like, oh, they've lost 100 pounds. But like, we've had women who have come because their husbands have just left them and this gave them an outlet to let go. We've had women who have, you know, when we did zip lining, who had such fears of heights that their group encouraged them so much that they overcame something that had been holding them back for their entire lives. You know, like, there's so much transition and change that happens, and they don't realize that when they first arrive. But both of us are very big on gratitude. And I think it's really important that they know that they could be anywhere else in the world. And they've chosen to spend not just their money, but their time with us. And that decision means taking away time from their family or from their kids or from something else. So, you know, because we can't be in every place at the same time. So for me, I think it's so important to say that. And then I say it again at the end, because I think also that, you know, for me, I want to express my gratitude because they've chosen to spend it with us. And that to me is such a big compliment to what we do. And I truly believe we have the best job in the world. And no, I don't know in which aspect, because we do so many different things, but it's like, I love the podcasting. I love the retreats. I love the education on Fitchix Academy. I love instructing. I love the workshops, like all that stuff. But like, when it comes to this industry, and I know people who are listening to it are fitness professionals or nutrition professionals or somewhere in the health industry. And I was talking about this actually at our last retreat with some of our F&E instructors or F&E students. I was telling them, you know, do not underestimate the power that your role has. Because a lot of times we think, oh, I'm just a fitness professional. I'm just an aerobics instructor. Like, my dad still thinks I'm just an aerobics instructor.
So you know, mine.
Like, exactly. Or like, oh, like you're a hippie and drink green drinks or whatever. But don't ever underestimate the power, because what we do as fitness and nutrition professionals is that we are literally saving lives. Like, we are part of preventative health. That's the role that we play. We're not just about, okay, go out and lose 10 pounds or drink this shake because it's going to make you lose weight. We're giving people the tools that can prevent long-term diabetes, can prevent heart disease, that can prevent emotional like and mental health issues like depression, anxiety. If you can inspire and motivate somebody to move more and eat better, you literally can transform their lives. So that's something that I think that as someone listening, just realize that these retreats, they're such a great way for you to have such an impact. And I know for you and I, when we walked away from our first retreat, I remember we were buzzing. We were just so high on the whole experience and, you know, getting to connect with women in that way. And like people listening, once you do it, you'll be able to feel that too. But it's just such a great thing. And it's just such a, I'm very grateful to be able to be a part of these people's lives to help them to learn more about how to heal themselves and how to live healthier for the long term.
Definitely. No. And I mean, and I wanted to talk about that because I think that it's the one thing as anyone listening right now, the reason why I mentioned this whole part of Laura's speech that she does at the beginning and end is because I want you to also do the same. So if you're at a point where you are offering these retreats, or even if you're not even there yet, but you're just running fitness classes or workshops, et cetera, before you even begin, I want you to take a step back and remind yourself before you walk in that room, before anything, just be like, wow, I'm so grateful. And I'm so fortunate to be able to do something that I love and to be able to help transform people's lives. Because as soon as you walk into it with that kind of gratitude and that kind of a reminder for yourself, it will transform the way that you approach it and the energy that you give out. Because sometimes, you know, I've seen it, and I've seen it even in myself where like when I was teaching fitness classes and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I really don't want to teach tonight. I just don't want to. Like I've got so much going on or I'm busy or whatever. And I just don't feel like it. And then if you take a step back and you're like, no, like these people are showing up and I'm so grateful that they are, and I'm here to help them. And I am so fortunate that I get to be a part of this experience, immediately it will shift your energy. So just take the second to remind yourself, regardless of whether it's the retreats or classes, et cetera, that you're doing. Sorry.
Well, and that's where I know we're wrapping this up, but that's where I remember we used to do our takeaways. And I want to give a takeaway from this because I do think that you and I are experts at running retreats. And I think that, you know, no one else runs a retreat like we run a retreat. We're the only retreat in North America. Most of them are yoga retreats or things like that, but no one runs a holistic retreat the way that we do. So not to toot our own horn, but we know what we're talking about, guys. So my one big takeaway for anyone who's like pumped and interested in doing retreats, but feeling a little bit overwhelmed, just remember it doesn't have to be perfect. And that's
it's so true.
Like when we first started, it was like, and we were talking about this at this last retreat. I remember saying like, oh my God, like why do these feel so much less stressful? And even the packing to go and like the amount of time it would take for me to get all my materials, like it just feels like a lot more because I let go of stressing so much about over having everything. And I always know that we have, obviously we prepare with backup plans. Like if the weather changes, we have a different track that, you know, if we had an outdoor plan, now we have an indoor plan.
Yeah. We always have like contingency plans.
Yeah. So then, so when you're prepared, then you don't stress. You're like, oh my God, it's raining. Okay. We'll just do this. However, it's just when we first started, it was like, I couldn't sleep at night during the time. Like I'd come back exhausted. We'd be go, go, go all the time and with the girls all the time and trying to entertain and feeling like they wanted more. And things would go wrong. And I mean, once we had a girl who rolled her ankle.
Was that our first retreat when she like slipped on the wall and she rolled her ankle? We had the paramedics, guys, no joke. First retreat, we had the paramedics show up to the hotel to take care of two different ones. So two occasions, same day, first day of activities, two different times paramedics had to come because somebody slipped on, because it was raining outside and we were still running our outdoor activities and somebody slipped and rolled their ankle. And then another time somebody slipped and they hurt their knee. So twice.
No, no, they tripped. And that was like, these were things that weren't even like.
Nothing to do with us. Yeah. It wasn't like we were like, oh, and we also, I mean, but it happens. Right. And so, well, number one, that's why you have waivers in the beginning, but like I remember being so upset and so stressed out. Like I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, and I also remember being so upset, you know, when I like, again, you don't fully know people and then feeling like, oh my God, that person seems like they're not having a good time, you know? And that's where it's like, you just have to remember it's not going to be perfect. maybe not everyone is going to love it, but they will. They will in their own way. But like, things happen.
And they might express it differently. Right?
Yeah.
So like, you might have some people, and we see this all the time, where we have some people that are, they seem like they're so in it. They're like doing the cheers and dancing around and being so pumped. And then we have other women that are really low key, but then at the end of the weekend, they're like, this was the most amazing time. It's just, don't judge people based on their expression, or judge it based on like how they're expressing their joy according to someone else.
Well, and that is just kind of my biggest takeaway too, is just don't worry about being perfect. If someone rolls their ankle in the middle of it, keep going. If you're, I usually do a nutrition workshop with a Vitamix. I tried to do one with the Ninja one year, and my smoothie was just disgusting and chunky. And here I am trying to tell people, drink green smoothies. And then I give them this funky, chunky mess that I think like some girl actually gagged on because she couldn't swallow the kale.
It's so funny because I use a Ninja and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, yeah. And then like literally though, you just kind of laugh it off. And I'm like, sorry guys, wasn't my best one, but you know, but to tell you, get the Vitamix, invest in it. So it was just like, you got to just kind of keep rolling with it. Don't let things drag you down, and don't worry about it being perfect. Like you'll learn your flow. You'll adjust with time, and you'll see what works for you.
100%. I totally agree with you. I think that's the best takeaway, really. Like, it's just, you know, like we said, you want to create an incredible weekend or a week long retreat or whatever it is that you envision. Set up the plan, have an idea of what you really want. Find a partnership that makes sense for you and that really works, that you guys blend well together and that you work well together and that they see your vision and that they understand it. And then from there, just start figuring out like, what is it? I always think of it too as like, if I was attending, would this be something I would want to do? Right? And like, if you're like, heck no, like I would like hate that. Like I would be just like, oh my gosh, I'm not showing up for that part. Then maybe don't include it, because you want to include things that you know that people will find joy in. So try to figure out, like I always say, and I learned this from my yoga teacher years ago, and he always said, like, teach a class that you want to be taught. And I believe that with everything to do with your business, is like, do the things. So in our podcast, I talk about things that I would find interesting. In our retreats, it's like, I do activities that I think I would either find funny or I would find interesting or fun to do. Right. And so it's the same idea. So plan according to, would you want to attend? Because I'm assuming that your target audience is probably someone who's very similar to you, that probably either has come from a place of like the same struggles that maybe you were going through in the past that now they're going through. So you're trying to help them through that process, or that are on the same path as you, you know, maybe they're training, they're doing retreat for marathon runners. And so you're a marathon runner as well. So you get it, right? Like, and so you want to be developing stuff that people will also connect to and that they'll have fun doing. So that's kind of like the process. And then the last thing is just over deliver. Make sure that you are giving them a reason to come back for more. Like, we're really fortunate that I would say, like, I don't even know, like quite a few of our ladies come back for second retreats, third retreats. We've had one girl, she's come, how many times has Holly come now? Like, I think 9. I think she's come to about 9 retreats. You know, and so we have like women that come back, and the content's similar. Maybe the classes are different. Maybe some of the activities are different, but the formatting doesn't really change. They come back time and time again, because for them, it may not necessarily be any more about a kickstart, but it might just be more about like, they just loved the weekend. They had so much fun. They felt the connection, and it just gave them that energy, that boost that they were looking for. So whatever their why is, that's their choice. But if you deliver and you show up and you teach an amazing weekend or an amazing week or some sort of like an amazing time, they will come back for more. And that's exactly what you want. You want them to find a reason to want to join you again so that you can continue to develop that relationship even further.
Love it.
All right. So on that note, we are going to wrap up for today. So thank you all so much for listening. And as always, if you are interested in learning more about how to get into this industry, or if you're looking to get more certifications, join us for our Fitness and Nutrition Expert Certification Program, which starts on September 26th. Or we also have our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert Certification. You can check them both out at fitchicksacademy.com. And then of course, check us out on social media at fitchicksacademy. And then finally, if you have any questions, comments, or any ideas of things that you'd love to hear about, please email us info@fitchicks.ca. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and we will chat with you again real soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.